Invite you to open your Bibles with me tonight to 2 Peter, chapter number 1. We're going to continue where we started last time in this study of growing in the Lord. And these things are important. Some of you have studied in the Sunday school hour with Brother Bob, and we're looking at some of the same verses, but you know it's important to continue to let the Word of God dwell in us richly and meditate upon it and apply it in our everyday lives. I think that that's probably the greatest failure of Christians today, is to let the Word of God affect every area of life now. We become used to what's going on around us in our society. We are influenced, unfortunately, by the media so much that we forget there are more important things than what Hollywood or the news media says. We have to center our affections on things above and not on things on earth. Here in 1 Peter 1, I'll not read all the verses, but I would begin in verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, that's a warning and a promise of blessing both, isn't it? He said, if you don't have these things, you're in trouble. You're blind. You cannot see afar off. You ever wonder how some people that claim that they are believing the Bible, but they don't get it? They will argue for things the Bible condemns. They will try to make excuses for all kinds of contra positions because it's politically expedient. We have people running for high office that will stand up and avoid the question of abortion killing babies in preference for the rights of women to have control over their bodies, so they say. And like the one picture on the computer says, well, you ought to exercise some control before you make the baby. And all of those things are important. And yet, rather than just admit when we do that we fail, we need to ask God for strength and help to go forward and deal with the problem, they want to just cut it out and throw it away and pretend it didn't happen. There's so many things like that, and I can't understand how somebody can say, I believe God and I believe the Bible and hold to those things. But they do. Perhaps this is part of the answer, because they have not let these things be added and growing in their life. Therefore, they don't have the right perspective. And even some have no assurance of salvation, have forgotten he was purged from his old sins. And I've known some like that. And then he said, wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. This is the good part, the promise. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Well, that's pretty strong, isn't it? We think, well, anybody can mess up. Yeah, you can mess up, but why do you mess up? Because you didn't hold on to these things. You didn't stay close to the Word of God and obedience in your life and grow and continue on. There's a promise for perseverance. That is, we need to be faithful to our Lord. So we're going to look at these again. As we mentioned, we use this illustration here, a stepping stone toward faithfulness. We're beginning with faith and then going on up one by one. Tonight, we're going to concentrate our thoughts on this word faith. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. That'd be a good verse to memorize, wouldn't it? To remember the Lord is guiding your steps if you're following him, a good man. And though you fall, you'll not be utterly cast down, because the Lord upholds you. You know, it's wonderful to say, I thank God I've been able to be faithful, I've been able to grow, I've been able to do all this. But it's even better to say, the Lord kept me. You see, because I'm always going to be less than perfect. I'm always going to fail. I'm always going to have human limitations, but God does not. What is faith? That's the, what do they say, the $64,000 question? People talk about it. Faith is believing God as he promised in his word. Look over with me at Acts 27, verse 25, first of all. Acts chapter 27, verse 25. And this is the event where the apostle Paul was being carried by the Romans to Rome to answer for his profession of faith in Christ and the false accusation by the Jews that opposed him that he had broken their laws and worthy of death, etc. And they had disregarded his opinion when he told them, let's stay here, guys. It's not a good time to sail. They said, well, the shipmaster knows more than you do. You're just a preacher. You don't know anything. And so they took off and trusted the shipmaster rather than the man of God. And, of course, they were shipwrecked. And all these things were in the midst of it, and they were in trouble. In the midst of this, Paul says this, verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. God had given him assurance in these verses. He said, he exhorted him, verse 22, be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Now, that's the statement of God's revelation to him. But then the key here is believing it. And he said, be of good cheer, for I believe God. It's going to happen. You know, it's so simple that we stumble over it. Faith is just taking what he says at his word and believing it and acting upon it. Faith is what we need. We need to trust the Lord. And that's the beginning. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we are saved. We believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. And furthermore, we believe that he will save whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You know, I fear that many will get the first part and miss the second. They'll say, I believe the gospel. I believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I believe in the virgin birth of Christ at Christmas and the bodily resurrection at Easter. I got all the facts down, and it's all up here. But he said, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's a matter of putting our confidence in it, not only in our mind, but also in our actions, and saying, yes, Lord, I want you to save me. I probably shared before Pastor Lynn's story of telling me as he grew up in Northeast Ohio, I believe it was, wherever it was, he said he grew up in the Lutheran church. He always knew the gospel. He always believed Christ died for the sins of the world. He believed he was a Christian because Christ died for everybody. But on that airplane flying over Africa in World War II, one of his fellow servicemen led him to Christ. He said, look, you need to call on the Lord yourself individually. Brother Herman Raines, we mentioned him this morning. He's in the nursing home there in Indiana. He would meet many of the veterans downtown Cleveland as he would, before he lost his health, he would carry them around, taking them to the doctor and such. And he would ask them, do you know the Lord? Are you ready? Sure you're saved? And they'd most of them say, well, I don't know. He said, well, have you ever called on the Lord to save you? Have you ever called on the name of the Lord to be your Savior? And I thought, what a unique approach. And that's what the Bible said, whosoever shall call. A lot of people have got the intellectual assent to historical facts in their head, but they fail to put it into action, to trust God, believing him. That's the first step of our new life, and then it says to add to your faith. Unfortunately, many people think, well, I'm saved, that's all that matters. It's a fire escape. No, it's what did Jesus say? You must be born again. And as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Not only is it a forgiveness for sins and a cleansing of all unrighteousness, but it's also a new life in Christ. He said, I'm come to give them life and that more abundantly. He came to change us. We are born from above when we're saved and we grow. And then 2 Corinthians 5:7 reminds us, we walk by faith, not by sight. here in the story that I read in Acts and briefly rehearsed to you, the apostle is going through trials and troubles, opposition from people who don't want the gospel, put him in harm's way on his way to Rome to give answer because they were trying to twist the rules against him, and he stood on his principles, stood on the law of the land as a Roman citizen and said, I appeal to Caesar, and God wanted him there. He said right here, you must go to Caesar. God had a plan for him to bear witness there. Now, Caesar didn't get saved, but a lot of other people did. You know, sometimes the Lord uses us in ways we may not comprehend completely, but we have to have faith that God knows what he's doing. And if we follow him, he's going to guide us all the way. As we began with that verse in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He guides us in the way we ought to go. And we don't live by the things that are going on. This is what is so amazing in our culture today. The media influences people so much. They get us all stirred up about this and all stirred up about that. How many of you remember last winter when every time the sun got darkened and it started snowing, oh, there's going to be another blizzard. There's going to be another terrible thing. And everybody worried all the time. Well, sometimes it got worse than other times, but we made it, didn't we? God was there. And these people that are so worried about our environment, that we're going to destroy the whole world because of carbon emissions, I think they missed something here. The Bible says God is going to destroy the world by the word of his power in the judgment. Until then, we are responsible to do the best we can to take care of the creation the Lord has entrusted to us. But I'm not afraid of that because of their ramblings. I trust God. We live by faith in the Lord himself. He wants us to be dependent on him and holding on to his promises. That's faith. Faith is believing him and acting upon it. I can't get very upset over troubles when I know that God is in control of everything. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8, verse 28. You know, that's a promise given, but you notice the way it's phrased in Scripture, and we know. Holding on to the promise of God. You see, there are a lot of things that are true, but if we appropriate them to our understanding and our life, then we can continue on serving the Lord. And then there's a contrast now here between real faith and false faith, wasted faith. Some people have a blind idea, just guessing, hoping, wishing for something good to happen, but with no promise that it will. Well, I just hope so. I just hope so. One of the words that we use in our common vernacular differently than the Bible use is this word hope. We have a blessed hope. Christ is a hope of glory. But it's more than, well, I hope so, like we use it. It's our promise. He's the reason we can hold on to it because he did what he said he would do. God proved that by raising him from the dead. God proved that by giving him the ability to conquer death and multiply the bread and the fishes and all those other miracles that are in the scripture. He proved who he was. He's God the Son, came down from heaven to provide for us. And he leads us in our life as our Lord and Savior. And we can trust him. Neglecting faith leaves firm beliefs to parents, pastors, and religious fanatics. This is another problem people have. They don't really have any personal understanding because they didn't study their Bible. They didn't learn. They didn't grow. They just said, well, whatever the preacher says, whatever mom and dad says. Well, grandma and them, they used to do this and that and the other. No, that's not enough. You need to have your own personal understanding between you and God. A dear friend of mine made profession of faith when she was in college, where we attended Bible college. And that shocked me, for she was older than I, and she had been a Christian, I thought, much longer than I. She'd grown up in the church. She was a great example, one of the reasons that I was directed toward that Bible college. And yet, she came forward in a service in college and said she wanted to be sure of her salvation. I said, how can that be? Years later, I was talking to them, her and her husband, and said, well, it was a matter of want to make sure it's my faith and not my parents. You know, because she'd grown up in it, just like some of you. You've grown up in church with your mom and dad, and that's a good thing, by the way. I always get a little upset with people say, I'm not going to go to church. My parents forced me to go when I was a child. I said, really? Did they force you or did they bring you? Now, if they threw you on a bus and made you go because they wanted to get you out of their hair, then maybe you have a point. But if they brought you and sat with you, there's a little different situation, I think. I think the Bible teaches we should train up our children the way they ought to go and let the Lord work. But anyway, you can't depend on others. You need to make it personal yourself. And she did that, and others have done that. I challenge each one of us, as Brother Bob often quotes the verse, examine yourselves whether ye are in the faith. Years ago, I used to hear a lot of people talk about, do you remember the day? Do you remember the hour when you got saved? And I think you ought to be able to remember the circumstances. But you know, it's not remembering that saves you. It's the Lord. And what's the evidence that he saved you? That you're in the faith now. You're still holding on. You're still following Christ. You're looking forward to his promises to come through. Trusting any other source from truth in the Bible is a wasted faith. Oh, that's so true today, isn't it? All kinds of people with all these new things coming down the road. They've got a vision. They've got a new story. They've got something that nobody else has ever seen this in 2,000 years. God's only given it to me. And I think, wait a minute. If it's in the Bible, we know it's true. Someone said, what's new? I say, nothing. What do you mean? I said, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. If it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. I like that because I could remember it. If it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. It's always been. And I think that's something we ought to hold to. I know you can say, well, they never had airplanes in the Bible. No, but they had the principles that God gave us. The Lord has allowed us to develop technologies over the centuries that are amazing, aren't they? We have the computers. Some of you are using tablets and others for your scripture tonight. Isn't that a blessing to have that ability to do that? And yet, the truth of it is the Bible is the Word of God, not the tablet, nor even the paper and print that I have on my pulpit here. The Bible is the Word of God passed down, and we've been able to have it in our hands. And yet, think about those early Christians in Paul's day. They had so much fewer of copies of the Word of God, but they had the same God, and they had the same promise, and the Lord used them. And by the way, does it ever convict your heart that they turned the world upside down without a printing press, without a computer, without a radio, without a television? Because the Word of God dwelt in them richly, and it spread out. They grew in their faith, and they trusted him seriously. By the way, your experiences are not the standard for truth. I've known people say, well, I don't know what the Bible says, but this happened to me. I know what I did. I know what I felt. Well, you know, Satan can counterfeit things. You judge your experience by the Word of God. You judge other people's opinion by the Word of God. You judge right and wrong by the Word of God. You rightly divide the Word of truth. Our feelings, oh boy, that's a bad one to trust. Because, you know, we go up and down. I think our feelings go up and down by the weather, don't you? When the springtime comes and it starts getting green and the little birds are chirping, you think, boy, I feel good. And Brother Jim's over there rooting on. How many days is it? Just a few more days till spring, amen? But we our feelings change, but our faith should be strong in the Word of God. And by the way, your past doesn't limit you either. I tried to mention that this morning. The Lord can use Rahab. The Lord can use these men whose stories I read from the magazine, got saved out of Islam. God could use you and me. How could God ever forgive me? The same way he forgave the thief, same way he forgave everybody else, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The problem is we look at our situation and think that's bigger than God's solution. But God said his solution is so precious. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And you think about how that powerful sacrifice of Christ on Calvary was enough for all the sins of all the people of all the ages if they just come to him. Now, many don't, so they lose out. But that's their fault, not his. And then we, of course, don't look to astrology or evolution or superstitions. Surely none of us would do that. Faith has substance. It's based on the truth of the Word of God. And it's precious. I like precious faith. It's not, everybody doesn't have it. Everybody could have it if they would, but they don't all have it. And then it's given to all, common, not that it's everywhere, but it's available to all. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are some out there that emphasize God's sovereignty to the point they say, well, if it wasn't predestined, you're not going to be saved. No, the Bible said God's already predestined that every one of us in Christ should be conformed to his image. That's his plan. And he's also predestined that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So don't get beyond what it says. Don't try to add to Scripture nor take from it. I believe God knows who will be saved. He knows everything. But I also believe he offers a real offer to everyone in saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I don't think he's being duplicitous, saying, I'm going to pretend to offer it to them, but I only really mean it for the ones that I've already picked out. No, I believe it's offered universally, common to all, if they'll take it. And then it's proven. It changes our lives. That if you have true faith in the Lord and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to change your heart. And if you keep on growing, it's going to change everything about your lifestyle. But you know, some people get the real faith and don't follow through and mess up. You say, well, how can you know that from the Bible? Well, it's real simple. There's a fellow in the Old Testament named Lot. And you read all the things in Genesis about him, you think, boy, he was a greedy, unthankful nephew, wasn't he? God allowed him to go along with Abram, and he got to fighting over things with his herdsmen. And he said, well, there's the land you choose. And he looked down toward Sodom. It looked like a good place for cattle and all that. I'll take the good, well-watered plain. He said, fine, go on down there. He turned his face toward Sodom. And you know all the trouble he got into. And he just barely got escaped from being destroyed by the fire and the brimstone because God dragged him out. And yet in the New Testament it said, he vexed his righteous soul. I wouldn't have known he had a righteous soul from reading Genesis, would you? But God knew. God could see beyond his failure. And I'm sure Lot tonight, if he were standing here giving testimony, would say, I failed to appropriate all the blessings I could have had in life. I failed to live up to my opportunity to be a good testimony to my family and to all these strangers. I failed, but God did not fail me. See, that's the thing. Salvation by faith in Christ is not a matter of us making ourselves worthy for him. It's a matter of him making us worthy of him. He saves us. And then it's biblical faith. Look over at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. It's based on the word of God that he has revealed to us. Some people wonder, well, what about this? What about that? The Bible doesn't talk about everything. No, but it talks about everything you need. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Bible works when we receive it. And we need to share. By the way, that reminds me, we need to be careful how we talk to people as much as possible. Tell them what the Bible says. It doesn't really matter as much what we think about it. It matters what God has said. And we ought to be careful not to add to nor take from what God has said. That was Eve's failure. Remember in the garden? Well, God said, you shall not eat of the fruit in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Ah, Satan said, ha-ha, I got her now. She added to it. God didn't say don't touch it. He said don't eat it. But somebody, either Adam or Eve, decided, well, if you don't touch it, you can't eat it. So we'll just add a little extra protection around it. But you know, if you do what God didn't say anything about, nothing happens. And in my mind, I've probably said this a million times, just imagine when Satan's tempting her, she's questioning, she's going like this. Nothing happened. I touched it. See, God didn't say anything about that. But what happened when they ate it? The eyes of them both were open. And they knew they were naked. The sin came. Spiritual death came. What's the effect of faith? We receive forgiveness and salvation from hell. Look at Ephesians 2. Beautiful passage that describes this great gift of God and the transaction that occurs when we believe. In fact, you could all go all the way back to chapter 1, or verse 1 of chapter 2. It talks, and you hath he quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I want to read that because, you know, we sometimes think, those other people, they're worse than us. No, they weren't. They're just like us. They were sinners. They were deceived by Satan. And we get so upset because of the atrocities we hear about on the news today. I read one thing earlier this afternoon saying that the media is just ramping everybody else up to hate other people, other nations and stuff. Now, I don't particularly believe that that's the whole thing, but there's some truth into that. You know, we tend to demonize our enemies, but the Bible says they're just like you. They're sinners. They're blinded by Satan, and they need the same gospel. See, that's the good news. Then it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10 reminds us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God is the one who starts this thing. He was rich in mercy toward us because he loved us, and he's given us this, even when we were dead in sins. And then he, by his gracious work in the Holy Spirit, convicting our hearts and showing us the gospel, and we believe and we're saved. Then we have the peace with God. Romans 5, verse 1. It's so amazing. Not only do we have peace with God, we'll probably get to it later, we have the peace of God. Romans 5, 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to describe many other things we have. But think about that. The enmity, the warfare's ended. The battle's over. No longer fighting against him, he has declared peace. And then we please God, not in our efforts, but by faith and trusting him. We're talking about faith tonight. You probably figured we'd eventually get to Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of the faithful. In verse 6, actually verse 1 and verse 6 both are important in this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is defined. It's substance and evidence. Substance is something that's real. It's existing. It has a presence. It affects those around them. And the evidence of things not seen. How do you know what you can't see? By faith. You believe God. You've never seen him or touched him or anything. You know, people sometimes mock the Christian. How can you believe in a God you can't see, you don't hear and all that? Well, how do you believe you have a brain? Can't see it. Can't touch it. Well, but it works, you know. Well, God works too, amen? You see the evidence all around you. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, there are a lot of people in this world that try to use the first half of that as an excuse against the Lord. Has said, well, if there's really a God, why is all this going on? And why is the evil happening? Why did he allow 9/11? And why did he allow this? And what about Auschwitz? And they bring up all these tragedies, which God did not engineer. Evil, wicked men did. And so they believe that that's an argument against the fact of God. But you see, it says we must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is good. He's always good. Better to us than we deserve, amen? And God does that which is right and true and holy, though he allows us. The mystery, I believe, that faces us, there's another word, what is it? Where two things seemingly contradict, but they aren't. The enigma, there's another word too, I can't think of it right now. But the problem we have is, how can God be loving and kind and allow all this evil? Well, the Bible answer is, he's long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. He's given you and me opportunity to repent and be saved. Only God knows when that time's ended up. But the long-suffering of God is not without limit. He says, there comes a time when my spirit will no longer strive with man. And that was seen in the days of Noah. When it was over, he wiped everything out that breathed except those who went into the ark. He offered it to all, but only 8 went in of the humans. and the animals, seven of the clean animals, two of the unclean ones. By the way, it always amazes me when people want to mock the Bible. They don't get the details right. We'll say, well, how could he have two of every animal and then he goes and kills some? They wouldn't have reproduced. He had seven of the clean animals. He had plenty and to spare. And he only had two of the unclean animals. But anyway, people don't pay attention if they don't believe it. And then God answers our needs. He hears us. He cares for us. Do you believe that? I believe the Lord is long-suffering to us, Word, and he's caring for us. He cares for you and me and prays. When we pray, he listens and answers accordingly what we need. He says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And so you need to pray by faith. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I don't believe that's contradicting salvation. I think that's talking about our walk with the Lord, our fellowship with him. You're holding a grudge against somebody else. You're not forgiving someone who's repented and asked you to, then you're not going to be right with God. Because that's going to be a block in your way. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. David wrote in Psalm 66. But verily the Lord hath heard me, he said in the next verse. So thank God he took care of it. It brings things into your life. We've already looked into 2 Peter 1:3 and all the promises of God's goodness in our life. Now I want to look at some Bible examples of faith. I didn't have these on your handout, but they're here in Scripture. In James chapter 2, probably the clearest part of Scripture contrasting real faith and false faith, contrasting the evidence of faith and just talking about it. And James chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come in unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place, say to him that say to the poor, stand thou here, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and ye are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? So you can't just go by the outward appearance. You have to trust God. Give God the opportunity to work in other people's lives. I think in our present world situation today, we have to remember the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We might apply that to the Muslims, to the Hindus, to all the atheists and agnostics and all the people that oppose themselves. That same gospel will save them if they'll call on the Lord. And we need to share it with them in the love of Christ and all that. And don't just... Well, you know, this guy, he looks like a good candidate. We'll talk to him. But the other, well, I don't know about him. God knows. We have to be careful because our humanity lets us, makes us judges. We tend to judge by earthly standards. You know, the disciples had a problem with that. They looked at people and they said, well, how can we know God's blessing on somebody if the Pharisees aren't right with God? Then who is? I mean, look at them. They live right. They give of their money. They dress according to the Old Testament law. They do everything so particularly to be righteous before God. And yet the Lord said, they're hypocrites. Because they omit the weightier matters of the law. They do the external only. They paint the sepulchres of the prophets, but they were the ones who killed them. True faith applies to all. Secondly, a failure to put faith in action, 8 through 13. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as a transgressor. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of them all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For He shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. You got to realize, you got to put it into action. You got to do what the Lord says. And of course, when you start judging yourself by your good deeds, say, I do this. You remember that Pharisee that went in the temple and prayed thus with himself, thank you, God, I'm not like these other men, like this old publican here. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes all of that I have, and etc. The Lord said he didn't pray to God. He prayed to himself. He failed. God knows the truth. And then true faith, it works out in our life. Verse 14 and following, it says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, can have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as a body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we see they go together. Though works cannot save you, if you have true faith, you will have works. Because it will change you. It will go along with it. You'll follow in the way of God. The examples given here, you believe in God. Does it have any effect on your life? The devils believe and tremble. That doesn't save them, but they're scared of him. You got to have it. Abraham believed God, and he obeyed God when he said, bring his son. It says, I believe in Hebrews, that he believed he was able to raise him up again because God had already promised that through Isaac his seed would bless the world. But faith wrought with his works, you see. And it all, it says, was made perfect. It was made complete. It was made evident to all around. And so also with Rahab the harlot. She believed God was the one that was coming with the children of Israel. She believed he was going to win. And she wanted to be on that side. And she turned from all that she had grown up with, all her pagan religion, turning from false to the true God, obeying the call of God, doing what you can to serve the Lord. And then growing your faith. There are no shortcuts. You got to continue on all the way. Luke 17, verse 5. And Mark 9, 24. I found Mark first. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You remember that story? That brought his child, had been tormented by demons, and asked the disciples to pray, and they failed. And he brought him to him, have compassion on him. He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. You know, it's not the amount of our faith, it's the object of our faith. The Lord can give us the strength. He did the right thing, by the way, didn't that father? He came to the right one. He came to the Lord. When the disciples failed, though they represented the Lord, he did not turn away and give up on God. Have you ever heard people say this? Well, I don't believe in that religion. I remember so-and-so. He said he was a Christian. Look at how he acted. And look at what this one did and that one did. And they want to throw out everything the Bible says because somebody who said they were a Christian failed. That's foolish. We're all failures. We're sinners. We're all imperfect. God is not. Just because one of God's people or one that claims to be God's people fails, don't give up on the Lord. Trust the Lord in all the way. Luke 17, 5 says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now that's good, but then notice what the Lord says. The Lord said, if ye had faith as grain of a mustard seed, you might say this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. See, it's not that you need a whole bunch more of it. You just need to believe God. And by the way, what's the Bible say that you can grow your faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I just quoted that verse. Feed your faith. Force it. Live for the Lord. Fight with it. Stand up for the Lord. Fight against Satan and sin. Reach people for Christ. What will you do with your faith now? How will it affect you in the days ahead? Will you live by faith? That's the whole point I'm trying to emphasize tonight. Living by faith, that's the way we please the Lord. Stand together for invitation.